Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'll be ready soon.
I mean, you have
I'm
to start the show, though. So.
No, I'm professional, Jim. The point is, if the music starts and I haven't found the lyrics, I'll just begin and leave the lyrics. My heart is full of love and desire for you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is here.
All right.
And the man whose love will set us all free, it's Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
Come on.
I'm jumping out. I'm starting.
Oh, I've been in Milan for the Champions League final.
Oh, he's so jealous. I like how Marcus is the one that's the most jealous because he loves football more than anyone else.
That's not true.
You were certainly asking a lot of questions.
You were.
I'm very pleased for him. I said I was very proud of him.
And that's exactly what a jealous person would say.
No, it isn't, Jim.
And how is that?
To be fair, though, Marcus, it was so hard for me to get there. I don't think you would have had the connections to get to Milan, if you don't mind me saying.
The connect? What, EasyJet?
No, couldn't get on a flight. Could not get on a flight.
How did you get there?
How did you get there? Did you post yourself?
I was still on my mate's friends and family beer, system.
Yeah.
But he only had like 2 days left. He's leaving the company. So I was like, mate, can you hook me up?
I was going to say the still sounded sinister.
So you basically just got a flight to Milan.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I had to sit on one of those jump seats.
How much did it cost?
60 quid.
Wow!
And then 200 grand.
Because he's on friends
Come
and
on,
family.
Marcus, yeah, Marcus can't afford that.
But then,
he's on friends and family.
But then 200 quid back on EasyJet. Okay, less salubrious.
That's still not that bad.
It isn't bad.
It's still
at all.
Not that bad, but it was an emergency flight. I had to get out. I had to move. I had to haul ass.
The last helicopter out of Saigon.
Is it? I was on that roof with the rope ladder.
Yeah.
Get
sounds
me on.
Like it. Sounds like
get
it.
Me on.
I was genuinely proud of you. I was pleased.
Cheers, Marcus.
I took you to the Championship player final last year, though.
Yeah. I didn't have two tickets.
I'm joking.
Do you remember how you went to the Champions League final in 2009, Marcus? Was that
what
generosity was it?
Yeah,
it was. I was staying out of this.
Don't remember Pete being jealous.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like the end of Reservoir Dogs. We're all pointing our guns at each other, aren't we?
And I would also like to thank Adidas when they took me to 2013 Champions League final.
So you've basically been to a lot of Champions League finals, Marcus Speller.
I've been to two. Same as amount as you have.
Yeah, but my girlfriend got me tickets to that, my ex.
Did
and see
really?
How that went.
Okay.
So we might have a fallout.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We should begin. Carlo Ancelotti is set to make a cameo in the new Star Trek film as the ship's
get
doctor.
That right.
Yeah.
Oof.
I did get it right.
You nearly went to Star Wars.
You needed to have a second run at it, is what I'm saying.
Did I get it right or not?
Initially, you got it wrong. Then you got it right.
You're just going to upset a big chunk of the internet, that's all.
All right. Yeah.
The Trekkies versus the Trekkers versus the Star Warsies.
I love Star Wars, me.
Yeah.
Live long and prosper.
Well done. Back on side.
Well done, Luke. All right. You see, don't be precious.
I thought you like might just get all your bickering out of the way and I'll come in and save it.
I appreciate
old
that.
Old Kirk Skywalker.
Much like,
saving the day.
Much like Mr. Spock in possibly one of the Star Wars Trek films.
Turning to Captain Kirk and saying, yeah baby, yeah. I've got my mojo back.
Yeah. That's a direct quote.
Yeah. Anyway, this is because he has a close friendship with actor Zoe Saldana's husband, and they invited him down to the set. The filming happened in Vancouver, where Ancelotti has a house. Ancelotti said, went in, spoke to the director, and he said, "I'll put you in a small part." Is it that easy for Carlo Ancelotti?
I would think so. He's a very suave man.
He just wants the eyebrow, and the man's body comes along with it.
What can you do, Carlo? Raises the eyebrow. You're in.
You're in a sort of doctorly way.
How long have you got? I've not got long. Oh, well, a small part, fine.
Is it good news or bad news? Oh, that's a good eyebrow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's dramatic.
They've got Simon Pegg writing it, to be fair, so I think anyone gets involved, to be honest. Yeah.
Is it good news or bad news? That eyebrow suggests it could be either. It's a very mysterious eyebrow.
It's got quite a doctorly kind of calming influence, hasn't he, as Ancelotti?
But you can imagine him raising the eyebrow and it meaning either.
How did the operation go?
Yes, it is terminal. No, you're going to be fine. It could be.
I hope at some point, or maybe he can already do this, but that he can give like entire team talks just with his eyebrows.
Yeah,
communicating everything.
Like semaphore. Like when you're on the ship and you've got to do flags. Flag rules.
Yeah, we know what semaphore is, Pete.
All right.
And we could do.
And we know you're a keen enthusiast.
To the younger landlubbers out there.
I appreciated the explanation.
He could do the Alex Ferguson lads at Spurs with his eyebrow, just in Morse code or semaphore or whatever.
I think, though, they're all sat around and they don't know who's in the team, and he walks up to them and looks at them, and with the raise of the eyebrow, they know whether or not they're in the team.
One eyebrow raised for yes, two for no.
I mean, what I like about this is...
The question.
The actual news story says that he's set to star in the new Star Trek film as the ship's doctor. Now, Star Trek is a film series that has very notable doctors, so the ship's doctor is a pretty big role.
Like who, Pete?
Dr. Sprunkles.
That's not one.
He's the famous Vulcan.
Is he?
Dr. Sprunkles.
Okay. And that's who Carlo Ancelotti's playing, is it?
Yeah.
Right. Dr. Sprunkles.
And his favourite hand gesture, what I'm doing now,
I didn't care a single jot for the remake Star Trek. So I won't be watching this one either. Ancelotti or not?
Right. Well, I don't know. I think I'm way more likely to watch it knowing that Carlo Ancelotti is just going to turn up in it.
Mm. But if it's only a cameo, then that's
a baffling cameo.
Yeah, it is.
Because there's going to be a time where people will forget that happens, and they happen to be watching the movie. It's
as long as they choose the sample clip to go on the torrent, I'll download that bit. As long as they choose that one to include Carlo Ancelotti.
The true test will be people who don't know anything about football or like football even notice that he's not an actor. That'll be the test. Yeah. That'll be the litmus test.
He'll be fine. Who's his assistant that he hands him the scalp and whatnot? It'll be Paul Clement. Or Paul Clement.
Paul Clement. Stop giving him foreign names.
Clement. Right, where are we? If you were able to give a cameo to a manager in a film or TV show, then what would you decide, Jim?
Well, there are two new movies in the Alien franchise, also connecting to the Star Wars, Star Trek universe, is it? Don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously not.
So
there's two separate ones coming out. And obviously we know what happens in Alien. Horrible things burst out of people in a horrible way quite often. So I would like to see one of those as a tiny Pepe. No eyes. They give him the CGI so it had no eyes. And then a little Pepe head just bursting out of someone. Because I think that's the only foul I've not seen Pepe commit is actually to burst out of another human.
He could do like a Jimmy Jump. He could
do
it,
maybe. So.
It's a good answer, Jim, but I'm afraid, unless you mean Pepe Mel, I did say manager.
Well, I am looking to the future and disregarding
your... It's not the first time someone's interpreted a question differently.
No. He didn't say at the start of his answer, I've interpreted like this.
Marcus, I'm going to make it very clear that I do not care.
Oh, he's tech-chitty. Last round of the season.
I'm not lodging another answer.
Luke?
I have gone for a manager, Marcus. You'll be pleased to know.
At least someone's toeing the line.
Yeah, it's the last day of school, Marcus. You should be able to let us get away with these things.
I brought him my toy.
Luke, every day's a school day, as you well know.
Yeah, it is. And I would like to utilise the scene in Easy Rider where Jack Nicholson's character meets up with Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper outside the county jail, whatever it is.
Mm.
I think Jack Nicholson's been in the drunk tank, his character has. And they announce they're going to ride to Mardi Gras and Jack Nicholson's character wants to go with him. And so he jumps on the back of Peter Fonda's, I think, bike with a helmet on.
Mm.
And all I'm saying is, there's no one on the back of Dennis Hopper's bike at that point. Mm. There's definitely room in the pillion seat for Mr. Phil Brown.
I knew that was coming.
Hop on.
Yeah.
Fully in his suit, just straight from Wembley, carnation in his thing, possibly a Bluetooth, which I admit, I mean, I think it's 1968, might look a bit incongruous with the Bluetooth in. Might have to CGI that out in the remastered edition. But Phil Brown, heading down to Mardi Gras with Dennis Hopper, Peter Fonda and Jack Nicholson. It does not get better than that.
Correct.
With a pregnant mistress in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shaking a fist.
Shaking a fist, yeah.
That's legally not actionable.
Shaking a fist. Sorry, love, we're across state lines now. Take me to the county line and drop me off. I may be back this way, but I may well not.
Peter.
Big Phil Brown.
I've gone for the Serbian national team manager, Slaveljub Muslin. In 25 years, he's had 19 clubs.
Right.
And he's been fired from most of them. So I'm thinking he could just star
in
any
loves
film.
A cameo.
He could just be, yeah, he could just be in one of those kind of actors or character actors that are just in everything.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a good example.
Kevin Elders.
Just in everything.
I actually saw one of those guys on a train once. There's a guy called Kurt Fuller. And he's been in, he's one of those people who's been in so many things that I can't think of a single one.
Yeah,
Kevin Elders is in everything.
He's the comedy equivalent of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Isn't there
and Chaz Palminteri, he's another good one.
What's he in?
He's in...
there's a documentary.
Oh, God.
The documentary is called something like I've Seen You in That or something.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's about all these actors.
He's the football equivalent of that, like Lups Fannensteel. The guy who played football, was a goalkeeper who played. We talked about him loads on the show.
I know.
But he's famously played football. I think he's the only footballer to play in every continent.
Oh, right.
He's played all over the world, like possibly even like 50, 60 clubs in his career.
Charles Palminteri is the policeman in The Usual Suspects.
Got you, okay, right. Yeah,
that's a good example, yeah.
Kevin Spacey.
Lovely. I'd have Mick McCarthy. He's a bit miserable, isn't he? But he's kind of likable.
Yeah.
Mm. Playing Oscar the Grouch in Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Sesame Street's not really a movie, though, is it, Marcus?
No. Yeah. I said film or TV show.
He doesn't know if I'll read the question.
Oh, dear. It's suddenly a three-horse race, Jim, isn't it, for the points?
I'm
happy
points.
With fourth because I'm an Arsenal fan.
Holiday rambles are weird, aren't they? Just weird. There's something weird about them.
Marcus supports...
No, I can bleep it.
Yeah, that's better. But the thing is, though, I gave him such a good chat last week, Jim. They wouldn't believe
it. Smoke screens all over the place.
Mick McCarthy playing Oscar the Grouch.
Mm-hmm.
Just nice to see him. Open the bin lid. There's Mick.
When you put it like that, I like it. I'm on board.
Yeah, I like the element of surprise.
Yeah.
I could just picture the resignation on his face. Oh, here I am, in a bin.
But he looks like the eagle cow, doesn't he, from Sesame Street?
He looks like Sam the Bald Eagle. Yeah.
Roy Keane walking past. I didn't rate you as a bed man. I don't.
Tape it up and kick it down the road.
I also like the idea of Mick McCarthy referring to it as a garbage can as well.
Yeah.
Here I am.
Oh, it's just a garbage can.
Give me garbage
Stick
can.
Stick it up your sack.
As accommodation goes, this has been awful.
Well, this is the worst Airbnb I've ever been in.
Here I am, in a garbage can.
Luke's got the points with Phil Brown. Sorry, Pete.
It's all right.
All right.
Went to Google, didn't I?
Easy Rider needs the points.
Easy Rider. Lovely old Rider. Right then, let's talk about the UEFA Champions League final. Real Madrid won it.
Oh, went on a bit, didn't it?
Alicia Keys got things off to a start.
Yeah.
As you rightly said, Marcus, the only sort of keys you want to see around that event.
We've moved on.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah.
I'll take that.
I'd love the idea of them...
mugging him off.
No, they were organising it, and then someone ringing Richard Keys by accident. It's next to Alicia Keys in the phone book. We want you to perform for an hour before. No problem. Do you want Andy? What? Do you want Andy with me? Well, what can he play?
The piano?
Yeah.
No. Let's hear it for Sky Sports.
Although you can imagine Andy Gray being absolutely incredulous about
concrete
the whole thing.
Jungle where dreams are made of, and I hate seeing that.
Get off the pitch. Let's hear it for Qatar. Yeah, exactly. So, Alicia Keys.
I missed that. I was buying Coca-Cola.
Really?
Because they've got this maddening system in Milan, but nowhere else in Europe, where you've got to go and buy a receipt, and then you've got to exchange your receipt for goods or services. They do it in every bar. I don't know why they do
used
it.
To do that
it drives me insane.
That's probably because they didn't have a license to sell the alcohol.
They used to do that at Alexandra Palace, because you weren't allowed to buy it as like a financial transaction for an alcoholic drink.
Well, you weren't allowed to buy any alcohol in the ground.
I think it might have just been you, mate.
Did you still manage to get hammered somehow? Ferment your own.
You don't need to do that with Coca-Cola.
No.
They've mugged you off there.
But I missed the whole of Alicia Keys because I was like, I can hear Alicia Keys. Why are they even playing New York? I didn't realise she's actually singing it.
Nothing says Champions League final in Milan quite like Alicia Keys playing New York.
I thought she would have changed the words to Milan.
Yeah, you would think. Did she? Something maybe.
She must have done at least one.
Oh,
sure.
I don't know.
She went, are you here Madrid? Are you here Milan? And then she kicked into New York.
Yeah. Oh, okay, right.
Give us a chance to reply.
Didn't the game start late because of it?
It was delayed by 5 minutes.
I'm glad that this was kind of viewed as a nonsense because it is. This is not the Super Super Bowl, is it?
No.
We don't want this rubbish.
We don't want Mick McCarthy. the FA Cup, I think, was delayed, wasn't it? By a short while.
Because didn't somebody forget the lyrics? Or she came at the wrong time,
I think she had a monitor. She couldn't hear what started, yeah. Well,
we shouldn't blame Miss Keys for
this. Oh, no, she's blameless.
Well, wow, yeah. I bet she got a fat wedge for doing
fat
it as well.
Fat wedge.
What a gig.
Well, what a performer.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't stick around and watch the presentation. I just couldn't be bothered.
I went on.
The thing is, it went on for such a long time with the intro and the build-up, which was mostly nonsense, and then the game and the extra time. And I enjoyed the last sort of hour of the game, including extra time. It was fascinating. Yeah. But by the time, because it takes them absolutely ages to set everything up.
Well, bearing in mind, it was 9 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, right.
And it was still very, very warm, to be quite frank. So I was looking forward to get cooling down a little bit, but it never really did, really. I don't know how Simeone and
did you manage to get your armpit sweat glands lasered off beforehand?
That's what I'm doing on Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday, yeah. Is it?
Proud
okay.
of it, don't yeah. care.
Costing him a grand.
Well, what's this got to do with anything?
I just think it's
interesting. I'm a sweaty man.
To be fair, mate, there's never an appropriate time to bring that up because it's utterly mental.
To be fair, Luke brought it up.
I did bring it up. He's defending me for doing it.
Oh, I see, sorry.
And the fact that you mentioned it on the ramble means that it's tax deductible, so fuck off, all right?
I thought you were going to ask for donations then.
but to be honest, the space between the end of the match and the actual ceremony happening did give the opportunity for a lot of the Real fans to run from the pub directly back into the exit as people were leaving, because they just opened the doors and ran and enjoyed the ceremony. So if for nothing else, that.
When Jim and I were out in Rome for the Champions League final, we waited around for the trophy presentation to Barcelona, which nearly cost us a flight home.
That's very
it
true.
It took that long, didn't it?
And
we've been absolutely
long.
Pegged it out of that.
I'm still recovering from that.
I don't know how long it took from the final whistle to them setting up the presentation, but I just could not stick it out. I was like, I'm going to watch the boxing instead.
Yeah.
I mean, if the other team had won, you'd imagine that a lot of people would have a little bit
true
more.
True enough.
A little bit more.
True enough.
I'm still
love for that.
But let's talk about the match. We've
I'd have got my sweat glands.
The admin and Pete's
Alicia Keys.
Yeah, well, no, we didn't have a go at Alicia Keys.
No, I mean, we talked about her.
We did talk about her, yes. But it's number 11 for Madrid. Zidane won his 22nd game out of 27 as Real Madrid manager and has been given a new contract until 2018, breaking the tradition of Real Madrid managers winning the Champions League and then getting sacked.
Which
I think is a shame, but there we are. Yeah, so he's now won the Champions League for Madrid as a player and assistant coach and now head coach, of course, which is incredible.
Amazing.
Considering what they've done there. Whatever you think of Zidane, whether it's, he's done a bit of a Di Matteo, just encouraged them to the final, whatever it may
but
be.
But as we said last week, since he took over, they've been the best team in La Liga. I mean, statistically speaking, they would have won the league if he had been there since the start of the season. So he would have delivered a double in his first...
Pete, the manager who is in charge of your football club was managing that European Champions League when he started.
Bedrock, mate.
This season. And he gets a medal.
Get him another medal, mate.
I think he died while he was in charge.
I think in the Champions League...
They get awarded a certain number,
get a certain number and they decide how to dish them out. I don't think Rafa will be getting one.
He's not getting one.
I think he should.
Wearing on the touchline against Burnley. Not Burnley. Crap.
Not even them.
I've booked me train tickets. Crap.
Barnsley,
that's what I was thinking of.
You had a lovely day out.
Yeah, it was a bit of a role reversal, really, from the off in the Champions League final. Because I wonder, Leti like to go at teams who generally are better than them attacking-wise. We saw that in at least one of the legs against Barcelona and Bayern Munich. Go at them, get that goal, and then just sit tight, really.
Yeah. It looked a little nervy, didn't they?
They didn't settle. I would say in the whole of the first half.
They didn't settle in the Champions League final they had against Real Madrid a couple of years ago, either.
Yeah. No.
It's similar. There seems to be some sort of weak link with them in the final.
Well, maybe it's Madrid, you know. Real Madrid, obviously, they sort of beat them.
I'm not sure the statistics, but they beat them a handy few times in the league and stuff like that.
Yeah, but the occasion of it is very different.
I thought they broke up playing the midfield quite well, but every time they sort of broke over the halfway line, they didn't really have an outlet, to be honest.
Yeah,
and
Torres was very quiet.
And Real were sitting back quite a lot, so it was always seems to be 3-on-2, 3-on-1 at the other end.
I found it odd about Torres because he was absolutely distraught at the end of the game, but then he didn't sort of affect the game in any way, did he?
I mean, he stuck into Pepe early on, which is an unusual thing to see.
True. I mean, he obviously won the penalty. He was fouled for it, but Torres had a very poor evening, and it was incredible. I mean, I thought Gareth Bale was fantastic throughout,
he's got a good Champions League record now.
He's done very well,
2-3
especially when he hobbled up to take the penalty. I was like, flipping heck, should he? I should be. Yeah,
good decision.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll be quiet now.
Yeah,
but the way they started, they scored the first goal. It'd be Ramos, wouldn't it? Of course.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, Madrid seemed to kind of play a few like balls over the top a little bit. They played like Atletico Madrid. Not that Atletico played long balls, you know. It was a fascinating encounter, the way it panned out. And then, of course, bringing on Carrasco at half-time changed it, really.
Well, Casemiro was having a great time. And then as soon as he's a great player, but as soon as Carrasco came on, I said to you, Marcus, at the time, why doesn't he start Carrasco? I mean, he's absolutely fantastic. He's man of the match.
Well, I wonder if it was part of the game plan, though, was to bring on this impact sub late on and just mix it up.
Well, I think Carrasco was starting for them, and then he was injured for sort of six to eight weeks.
He
didn't get back in. But Simeone did say that, didn't he? It doesn't matter if you bring him in on 30 minutes, 45, 60, or however. He'll always have an impact.
Well, bring him on at none, then.
Yeah. Well,
but I thought coming out of the tunnel second half, the difference in the kind of the body language from the Madrid team, they looked up for it. They were chatting, they were laughing, they were joking and stuff. But I thought he just looked a bit hunched. You know, they looked like they'd been absolutely destroyed in the dressing room. You'd imagine they would.
They did look. I mean, their heads were quite literally down. Mm.
So I was really surprised that they performed second half. And it was weird. It was a real role reversal from last time they played, because Real seemed to be the ones cramping up and looking a bit knackered. Yeah, and Atleti looked a bit more up for it, I think.
Well, Atletico Madrid in the second half were greatly.
But then they won the penalty, and Griezmann looked nervous.
Yeah, you could tell.
Because he'd missed one against Navas. So I think that his thinking was, I'm just going to smash this right down the middle, because I think he tried to place it before.
It's probably an inch away from being a perfect.
Well, this is it. This is the funny thing, as you say. But the fact of the matter is, he missed. He looked nervous. Yeah. He took one in the shootout,
to be fair to him.
He did score,
but he looked really nervous before that as well. Yeah.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? I mean, if you look nervous before you take a penalty in the Champions League final and you miss it, you're not going to look less nervous after.
But the fact he mastered those nerves in a much more difficult situation is a credit to him.
It was such a shame. And after that, you thought, oh no, this is just going to peter out, isn't it, to a crappy 1-0 and Atletico Madrid. But then Gabby really took this game by the scruff of the neck, I thought, in the centre for Atletico. He really drove them
on. Well, he was able to, because Carrasco was being such a threat.
Yes.
It opened up a lot more space, stretching them out, and then Gabby could do his thing. That's what I thought, anyway.
And a lovely floated ball into Juan Fran. It was a beautiful goal. And when he smashed it in, I mean, I was off my seat that moment, because you thought, oh, but it was that cathartic release for even the neutral to just think, brilliant, that this has happened. Like there's a moment of brilliance, you know, a couple of passes, bang, and sometimes a game lacks that, and there it was, and you thought, oh, they've got him, surely. They've got 10 minutes.
And just seeing them around the city as well, the Atleti fans, you barely saw a Real Madrid fan. Yeah, they were all over the place. They were rowdy. They were heading to San Siro about 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Were you near the Atletico Madrid fans?
I was near the Atletico Madrid fans. And they did seem like they were louder than the Real fans, but I guess I'm probably always going to say that. But they just seemed a bit more rowdy, a bit more up for it. Flares were dispensed with quite early.
When the goal went in,
that was brilliant.
It seemed like it was like they've shaken that off their back. You know, suddenly the belief was there. It was they've got through a mental block.
I couldn't figure out, because I don't know the San Siro that well, and it was a real honour to go to that particular stadium before it gets changed. Because I think Milan, it's Inter that are moving out, aren't they?
I think it's Milan.
And then they're going to basically Inter Milan it up. So it's going to be interesting to see how it's going to change. Because like, you could go for a pee, and I think I posted a video on Twitter. You could go for a pee and still watch the match.
Yeah,
that's how old the stadium is. It's really decrepit, and it's going to be interesting to see what they
through
do
a hole
it.
In the wall.
Well, it's just like the door just opens out. The door just opens out into the pitch.
That wasn't the toilet, was it?
No. It was the director's box.
That's just the bit at the top.
But the Atleti fans seem to have this space in front of them that they could just run into.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't think Real had that. And it's weird that, I think because it's such an old stadium, they had to build their own TV studios where the chairs usually would be, which isn't always the case with the modern stadium, because obviously you've got the director's box and stuff like that. But it's such an old kind of construct, they had to lose about 200-300 chairs to put these big old television studios down. It's a weird stadium.
Was it modernised for World Cup 90 then?
Okay,
because it wasn't built for World Cup 90, was it?
I don't think
no, it was built way before that.
It was called the Giuseppe Meazza in San Siro Stadium.
I think it's almost like 100 years old or something like that.
Yeah, it's very old, but it's an incredible.
I like the turrets on each side of it.
And to look at the stadium from the outside, it's quite magnificent.
It's like a proper big like construct. But Peter, I don't know if you saw any of the TV replay since you've been back, but the director was very, very adept at getting the cameraman to pick out crying Atletico Madrid fans.
Yeah. Especially female ones.
He must have found about 20 of them. Crazy.
And players.
During the game, even. Not even at the end.
And of course, when Carrasco scored, he went over to kiss his girlfriend, which Gary Lineker was very interested in.
Yeah, because
I bet he was.
Gary Lineker, come on, I don't want to besmirch the man's good name, but You know what I mean.
What do you mean?
I'm just trying to think of a way of saying you're not getting some trouble. It's not a surprise.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, he tweeted out during the game, which got something like 45,000 retweets in a matter of minutes. Pepe is an enormous, you know.
Which is true. Yeah, but yeah. I thought that was unprofessional of the man who was essentially anchoring the live broadcast at the time.
Yeah, but I liked it.
The openness and the true personality.
You really think like anchormen for TV shows doing live broadcasts of football matches should be personally slating players?
Why not?
That's classic.
That's the excuse we give ourselves that why we're not on the television.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Is it the worst thing we've heard from an anchor covering British television, sport, etc. The aforementioned man. When Carrasco scored that goal, the game changed, and the real chance came right in the last minute when Carrasco broke forward, and Sergio Ramos.
It's probably the best tactical foul of the season.
Correct.
Because they're probably about three on one.
And when he fouled him, I thought he's off. What? I
had assumed as well.
Yeah, how is Ramos?
Both Pepe and Ramos, I assumed, were on yellows when they were both then booked. He's like, what?
I thought Pepe and Ramos.
Pepe wasn't booked until extra time.
Yeah, I mean, those two were great work, really. I mean,
Pepe's just an actual maniac.
They are two absolute brutes at the back, but my goodness, there is very, very few managers who have ever managed in the game that wouldn't give their right arm to have at least one of them at the back.
I've said this on the show before, and I hopefully people know what I mean by this, and I'm not being sort of churlish about it, trying to say they're not very good, but a lot of times you do spend a lot of your time watching them thinking, are they actually that good, those two?
Because they spend a lot of time
doing like last ditch things and play acting and fouling and getting sent off. Sergio Ramos has been sent off about 25 times.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's been sent off more than once a season, every season. Mm.
That's not ideal, is it, if you're a manager and you've got
But at the same time, he scores in two Champions League finals, he's won everything, you know, so you can't really question
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah. Those two at the back, a proper centre back partnership, and if you're a striker, you don't want to come up against them. It's
going to hurt.
Exactly, yeah. Talking of centre about partnerships, it was interesting that Simeone picked Savic over Jimenez. Yeah. Jimenez has been great this season. I don't know if there was an injury concern.
There was
there or
talk
what.
Of that, yeah.
Mm, it
don't
was
you
a shame.
Juan Fran looks like an emaciated Godin.
Yeah,
a little bit, yeah.
And he's grown a beard to hide it.
Yeah.
But then it went into extra time. And this was the crucial bit for me. They got them into extra time. Real Madrid were clearly absolutely hanging. Yep. Ronaldo wasn't fit to play that final.
No.
Let's be honest. No, he was struggling with injury or whatever. I mean, he can't play against...
Imagine if they lost that. How much stick he would get for clearly saying I was fit
to
when
be honest
he's not.
With me, I was thinking to myself, like, take him off. Why don't you?
Well, exactly. In that position, you sort of think go down to 10 men because you are basically blocking out a portion of the pitch that your players can't run into because they were putting passes into him. He was dropping passes. He couldn't take anyone on. He was ruined.
Yeah,
absolutely ruined.
Decisive penalty.
You're right. He was, you could have brought on Hesse on for him or whoever.
He did well to get through 120 minutes.
He did. I mean. Look,
it's a thoroughbred, though, isn't it?
But the Ronaldo we know, he was a far cry.
Yeah, but there's not talk of him missing out the Euros, is there, anything like that? It's just strange, isn't it? Yeah. Like a strain he's trying to recover from.
We wouldn't want him to miss out on the Euros, of course. But when Real Madrid were clearly tired and Atleti had the momentum and Carrasco was causing all sorts of problems and so on. Now, I know Atletico Madrid then had a couple of injuries late on with Felipe Luis and who was the other one? Was it Koke or somebody?
Felipe Luis was brilliant.
Yeah, he was great.
Everything was going through him.
Yeah, I think they had two injuries in which they made two subs. So I suppose in hindsight you can say, well, it's just as well he didn't make any substitutions. But I just thought... I wanted him to bring on, not that I think Angel Correa is absolutely a fantastic player. I think he's a decent player. But somebody like that, maybe for Torres, because Torres wasn't getting anywhere and Pepe and Ramos just had him all day long. You bring in someone like Correa, who's a little buzzy kind of player who's a bit sharp, and he would have been much sharper than the rest of them.
He's a more difficult player to pick up and mark than Torres.
And they had the momentum, and I thought it was a bit of a stick or twist. I think Simeone thought to himself, if we just keep it the way it is, we may nick a goal, but we'll at least get to penalties.
Yeah.
Whereas if you brought on another attacking player, would they maybe just nip us on the break? Because Bale was still looking good, and Ronaldo is Ronaldo.
I think
Ronaldo.
Right, because I think it was definitely a portion of the game when Real Madrid looked like they were there for the taking. And I think it took a brave manager to react to that and as you say, twist rather than stick. And I think it's easy for us to say, and it's easy to say in hindsight as well. But given, I would have thought, given what they had suffered in the last time, 2 years ago when they played Real Madrid in the final of the Champions League and missed out in such a heartbreaking fashion, possibly part of you would have been like, well, it's not going to get any worse than that, so let's just go for it.
Yeah. They seemed to want to play everything into the corners in the last 5-10 minutes.
Everyone was walking wounded by then.
I know, but I mean, yeah, but on both sides, I just couldn't understand it. And when the penalty started, you could sort of tell in the crowd, and when the referee did the flip of the coin and it all went to the... It was all in front of the Madrid stand, of course, rather than the Athletic fans. You could tell there was a palpable sense of kind of like they'd already lost it to a certain extent. Okay. Well, I genuinely thought that sort of fed through the players. You could see the crowd. Yeah. You know,
Simeone's trying to whip him up, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was doing that all through the game.
Yeah, he loves a bit of
in
that.
In sweltering heat.
Probably doing that now.
I actually grabbed Luke's penalty algorithm and punched the numbers, and it did say Real Madrid, and I was a bit worried when it was kind of heading towards penalties, which is why I thought Simeone just might have one last go.
Yeah. Luke on the text went with Athletic, though, didn't you?
Well, like, unconfirmed.
Heart over head.
No, like I say, I took from someone who was there, confirmed.
Marcus had the algorithm.
I think he was being contrary when he said it.
But by the way, I think I got 150 tweets asking me about the penalty algorithm.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about that after this.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my cube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
But it was Real Madrid who won on penalties. Mm. And Ronaldo, I mean, Juan Fran, it's just the width of the post, isn't it? Because the keeper's never got really close. I mean, Oblak, I think all bar one of Real Madrid's penalties went to his left.
He's an excellent goalkeeper, but he didn't get anywhere near...
No, and he didn't get anywhere near the PSV penalties in an earlier round.
Right, but I don't remember that.
You could see after a few penalties the psychological effects of that on both teams. Real Madrid, you could see they basically just knew they would score if they got it in the corners. There's then so much more pressure on the Atletico players because they know Madrid are pretty much guaranteed to score afterwards. You could see it affected them.
That's right. When you have a side that is clinging on in a penalty shootout, you just know that the writing's on the wall. But I suppose for the player that he is and has been and will still be for the next few seasons, it was quite fitting for Ronaldo, in a sense, to score that goal. The way he'd played in earlier rounds, especially in the game against Wolfsburg, where he dragged his side through. Okay, he didn't have a great game in the final.
He was injured, though.
He was injured. And so I suppose it was good for him. And fair enough, you know, take your top of a celebration, but don't make it all about you.
Oh, but this is... Well, we can't be surprised by this.
I just thought an ounce of humility for a change. It was all... And he was saying afterwards, I told you I was going to score the winning goal and all this kind of stuff. And
it's not technically the winning goal.
Your team has dragged you to that moment. You might have done that against Wolfsburg. But, you know, and I tell you what, if you're an Atletico Madrid fan and you said to them before the final, apart from an absolute hammering, map out what you wouldn't want to happen and how you wouldn't want it to go. And I tell you what, some of them would have come up with that, which was gutting. Well, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, Ronaldo said that he'd asked Zidane if he could take the fifth penalty because he'd had a vision that he was going to win it.
You haven't had a vision, have you?
No.
You've just thought about it. You've daydreamed about a perfectly rational situation.
I'm having another vision again. Yeah, I'm having cheese and ham sandwich. You're just thinking about your everyday life. That's how most people live their life that way.
You've just made the sandwich as well. Yeah. Yeah, there we are. But we're all forgetting that the actual main man of the whole show was Mark Clattenburg.
Come on!
I only noticed the other night that Clattenburg looks a little bit like Bear Grylls.
A little bit.
Clatsy was loving it. I really enjoyed his KMIs.
The FA
that's
Cup.
That's a refereeing term.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The FA Cup clearly was the warm-up to the main event, wasn't it? Yeah. I thought he had a good game.
Yeah, he did.
I loved how he wasn't taking any of Pepe's nonsense.
The reason he had such a good game is... the reason it's fair to say he had such a good game is because it's a very difficult game to referee.
Pepe and Ramos are going to always make it that way.
And that, in addition to the fact that it's high intensity, high tempo, the type of football Atletico Madrid play, then you've got the pressure, then you've got the temperature, which apparently is very warm, right?
It was horrible.
So he did brilliantly. He did really well.
It was great. And once again, Europe, you're welcome. Yeah. You know?
I liked his little licky-licky face he did.
That was weird.
A licky really bum bum down.
Yeah, channeling the spirit of Snow.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no English players, of course, on show, but the man in charge was from England. You're welcome again.
Is it an argument to say that that sort of simulation should be awarded with a red card in the future?
I think Mark Clattenburg knew that and thought about doing that, and they just thought, oh, I'm just knackered.
But is he allowed to do that, though? Is he allowed to do that?
He should have been booked for that, I think.
Yeah. No, but he'd already been booked, hadn't he?
Exactly.
Oh, so right, he would have been off.
But it's okay. Simulation, isn't it? Yeah. People forget that that's the term, and it needs to be taken.
Well,
so absolutely, he was simulating.
Clattenburg saw the whole thing, and
did somebody like?
He sort of
like,
patted him
in the face or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he just rolled over. It was embarrassing.
Diego Simeone said he's considering his future.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's weird to see Simeone sort of like deflated.
Yeah. I mean, he was more gracious in defeat, unlike last time round when he wanted to rip Rafael Varane's head off. But you're right, Jim, it was quite sad, and you felt, is this the end of this little glory period in Atletico Madrid's history? And it reminded me ever so slightly of Valencia at the kind of turn of the century. Was it 2000 or 2001? I think they got into back-to-back finals, did they? They got beaten by Real Madrid 3-0.
And Leverkusen. And not Leverkusen, Bayern Munich. Yeah.
And it was, an incredible time for Valencia. They didn't quite get there. The first final maybe didn't equip themselves brilliantly. Mm. I know it was against two different sides, where Atletico Madrid both against Real Madrid, but in the second game, they went to penalties like Bayern, and you thought to yourself, right, this is their chance. Do it now. Because you won't see Valencia returning to many finals soon. You know, since then, their best is quarter-final. Mm. And I don't worry about Atletico Madrid, for crying out loud. They won the league recently, and the Europa League, and the Copa del Rey. You know, most football clubs.
It's interesting to know what Simeone's next move will be.
Sure, but it would have been great for them to have won the Champions League finally. And, you know, they've lost it. Last time around was so cruel with that last-minute Ramos goal, and now on penalties when they had the momentum.
Yeah.
You think, to get themselves back into the final. I mean, they beat Barcelona and Bayern on the way there. It's such a long way back. And if Simeone's not there, you would think, well, who's going to take over? Mm. And it would be a great shame.
Gary Neville.
Yeah. He knows how to manage in the Liga.
He's done his Spanish apprenticeship.
Benitez, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, not now. He's
well.
Pledged his allegiance.
Yeah. That's right.
We'll see.
To the God of the Queen.
But there we are. Real Madrid are the champions of Europe once again. Shall we move on to the playoff final?
Yes. Which one, though?
Well,
sure, many.
Or do we have any more Milan stories, Peter?
No, carry on.
For after. Okay. Championship playoff final. And it was Stevie Bruce's Hull City that beat Sheffield Wednesday 1-0. Shame for Wednesday. They've not been in the Prem now for 16 years, but what a goal it was from Diarra.
It was a nice goal to settle it. I think I would have preferred to see Sheffield Wednesday do the business, but it wasn't a very good game.
I think Hull were clearly the better side. They had a lot of chances.
I agree with you.
Kieran Westwood was in inspired for me. It took a goal like that to settle it.
I think he should have saved that goal. I think he dived a little bit too early, and he was a bit off his line as well.
Distracted by his own kit.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
His kit was Kevin Pressman.
I love it. I want to see those kits coming back.
I agree with Jim.
Neon monstrosities.
Yeah. But with Hull, with old Stevie Bruce, he knows his way around Wembley.
Yeah, he does.
Can he operate it? I did fancy Hull for that one. And they're back. But Ian Holloway in the commentary box or the pundit box expressed his disbelief that Steve Bruce doesn't get considered for top jobs, including the Man United one.
Well, it's a ridiculous
fascinating opinion.
Yeah,
absolutely fascinating.
If Man United were trying to get into the Premier League, possibly, yeah.
Could you imagine it?
Like, it'd be class.
If they appointed Steve Bruce instead of Jose Mourinho, and Ian Holloway was thinking, yeah, that seems normal. About time we've seen some common sense.
I just don't understand. I mean, I know Ian Holloway is a British manager, so he wants to fly the flag for British managers, but this sort of recent trope that comes around every so often, that like, British managers don't get a chance, it's just absolute nonsense.
Well, Bruce is the first manager to win four promotions to the top flight in the Premier League era, so does that change your mind?
He's also been relegated with Birmingham and Hull.
Yeah,
he was sacked from Huddersfield, left Wigan after 2 months, then left Crystal Palace after 3 months.
Yeah,
it's not like he's the reason I don't like this type.
How did Mourinho leave Real Madrid?
Yes.
Won the league.
Yeah, but the thing is, with this type of stuff, it's like newspaper journalists seem to have this opinion that British managers aren't given a chance. And when you sort of want to say back to them, okay, tell me a British manager then that you think should be given the Chelsea job, the Man United job, the Man City.
Sherwood was given the Spurs job.
Quite. And every single time one of them manages to fluke their way into a position or you ask them to suggest someone to take this job, there aren't any candidates.
Yes.
No, if you look through the list of British managers who could potentially take a big job, you've got Tim Sherwood, who's failed at Aston Villa and was, laughable at Spurs and was moved on. Steve Bruce we just talked about. Steve McClaren was sacked from Newcastle. Mm-hmm. Nigel Pearson was sacked, and Leicester obviously wanted to win the league. I'm not suggesting he did a terrible job, but you can't question that decision.
Yeah.
Gary Monk was sacked from Swansea. Ian Holloway's proven time and again he's not up to it at the top level.
Alan Pardew,
again, cannot arrest the team in this slide. There's no way other than the only person out in the world that thinks Alan Pardew should be a top job, you will know who that is. Phil Brown, again, not up to it. You know, Nigel Adkins fired from Southampton.
Eddie Howe, but it's very much set up.
Historically,
he didn't do too well at Burnley.
I looked into this in some detail. Sam Allardyce, as you can probably tell. The only two managers I can think of who may well be worthy of a chance at the very top level are Eddie Howe, as you've said, but it's still very early days.
Yep, yeah.
And last time he went outside of Bournemouth, he didn't do very well. Mm-hmm. And Sean Dyche, who's done well twice with Burnley and got them promoted to the Premier League. Mm-hmm. But of course, he was relegated as well. So there are no candidates. Mm. Every time a tabloid journalist or a newspaper journalist or an ex-manager or an ex-player says, British managers don't get a chance. If they ever say it to you face to face, say to them, who?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who?
Also, I mean, the league is a chance. Yeah. It provides you with 38 chances a season.
You're absolutely
to,
right,
to prove what you and can
and
do.
And if Mark Hughes takes Stoke to fourth next season and wins the FA Cup, and given his playing career, of course he'd give him a chance. Yeah. But no one's doing that. Mark Hughes had a chance at Man City, he didn't do anything.
And also, if you look in Serie A, you know, there's a lot of Italian managers, funnily enough, there. If you look at their careers, they've often managed in Serie C, Serie B.
Yeah.
They work their way up, they get given a chance in Serie A. Not all of them succeed, of course, but some of them do. And then they go on to greater things, and then we talk about them because they're great managers. In England, the Championship to bottom half Premier League clubs, there seems to be a perhaps self-imposed glass ceiling in terms of quality. Not in terms of... I know the truest sense of the glass ceiling suggests that British managers are being unfairly treated. I don't mean it like that. But their quality seems to have a certain limitation, obviously apart from Sir Alex Ferguson.
To put it another way, when I'm looking into researching for this part of the show on British managers, after about 5 minutes, I'm looking at names like Gary Rowett and Paul Clement. And neither of those realistically are being suggested.
Do you not think it's work rate though? Where's our like Lippy? Where's our ex-tube salesman? You know what I mean? Who's worked themselves up? Where's that coming from?
Warburton probably, wouldn't it? Somebody like
but
that.
Yeah, but like the work ethic just isn't there for me.
Brendan Rodgers was given a chance and sort of, you know, did okay, but he ultimately ended. Maybe it's just that all managerial careers ultimately end in failure.
Look, a big part of it though is that there simply aren't as many British coaches. The opportunities in terms of people learning their trade are a lot fewer because it's prohibitively expensive in a lot of cases, and we do have a problem, whereas compared to the other countries with the big leagues in Europe, we actually have fewer coaches,
much fewer,
further down the line. Yeah. So that needs to be addressed first.
But it's not a case of, look, you look at someone like Paul Clement, who's sacked at Derby. Okay, he was probably sacked unfairly by an interfering manager, but I don't think really anyone could seriously suggest he was sacked because he was British.
Of course not.
It's nothing to do with that, is it?
But there has been some new appointments in the Championship. Nigel Pearson.
Yeah,
he's the new boss at Derby County with Chris Powell as his assistant. Nice cop, mental cop.
I was about to say good cop, bad cop. Yeah. Nice.
That wouldn't have done it justice.
No.
Yeah, so Derby County. Yeah, there's a man who knows how to get out of that league, though.
Enjoy it, Chris.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, Chris Powell. What's he done now?
Enjoy the 3 a.m. phone call.
Enjoy the pre-season... Thailand trip.
No, maybe. Brian McDermott got fired as well.
Worst day of his life.
Yeah, Second worst or joint worst?
He's been fired from Reading before, hasn't he?
He has. Joint worst. Six months. He only won 9 in 30. They finished 17th.
I thought
it was such a shame for old Bri.
Big Bri.
I like Big Bri.
Heston.
Do you think he just looks like he should be a really sharp manager who understands all the sort of data side of it, just because he's got glasses? Do you think that people think he's more shrewd and intelligent than he is because he wears glasses?
Well, people think that about me all the time. Jim wears glasses, so you can't have a go at him.
That's out of order.
But he did well, didn't he, for Reading for a bit?
Yeah. For a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like,
not
Jim,
long enough, is it? Yeah, when, a bit, that's the problem.
Wasn't this time around. Well, I did all right the first time.
You've won the league for a bit. Yay.
Yap Stam being linked to the job.
Yeah, he wants... He said, didn't he? He said, if it was in the offer to job at managing England, I'll be on the next plane.
Is that right?
He probably went on to say, but not Reading.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, but Pete Donaldson stole my seat.
Yeah.
Marvellous.
Jump seat. He means.
Yeah. League One player final, Barnsley. They beat Millwall 3-1.
Well, Paul Heckingbottom's done a good job at Barnsley. I mean, Ian Holloway probably wants him to get the England job. He has done a good job, but I mean, there are levels. Do you understand what I mean?
I do understand what you mean.
To be fair to Barnsley, they won the Johnston's Paint, and now they've...
had a great season.
They were the better side as well.
I love seeing Lloyd Ingrove's celebration, because, I mean, he's on loan from Southampton, but you would think he, like, is... great granddad founded the club. And like, you know, he was just so delighted, and it was see someone enjoy an occasion like that.
He's obviously well bedded in there, yeah, the culture at the club, but also it's a Wembley final.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no, but I just love that unbridled joy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like when Beattie scored against Celtic for Hearts in the Scottish Cup semi-final.
Mm. Have you
just
got that in
just
there?
Just like that. Just like that, innit?
Smokescreen.
League yeah. 2 playoff final.
Speller.
Yeah. AFC trying Wimbledon. To distract us from the Millwall trouble. Sickening.
My grandfather was a Millwall fan, I'll have you know. Mm.
Did he throw shit at people?
He's not been able to do that for many years. League 2 playoff final. AFC Wimbledon are up!
Yep.
2-0 they beat Plymouth. It should have been Portsmouth.
I don't agree with that.
It's not the League 2 playoff final, it's the Akinfenwa brand awareness jamboree, and you know that.
Yeah, right, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Call it as it is.
The last half hour of the game was excellent. Other than that, it was dire, but not Kieran Dyer. The little insert that VT insert they did with Akinfenwa before the game, did you see that?
I didn't see that, no.
Getting everyone involved, he was.
Oh.
And then I like the way that he also. So I think it was Adiz won the penalty, then the midfield player, I forget who it was for Wimbledon, they already won the lap in injury time. The midfield player took the ball off him, so I'm the penalty taker. Then Akinfenwa just came from nowhere.
I'll decide.
Yeah, just basically took it off him, took the penalty, and then so he could get his old beast mode t-shirt out, yeah. going on. Yeah. It was quite unedifying, really. Yeah. It actually put a bit of a sour taste in the mouth.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
It's a bit like it's a lower league Ronaldo job, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. A bit like in the League Cup final with Swansea. Remember when Nathan Dyer was on a hat-trick, but the Dutch player, De Guzman, was the penalty taker, and had a bit of a dust-up there. It's not very good at Wembley to see two players. Especially given that Akinfenwa spent the lion's share of a VT insert beforehand talking about how together the squad is. They're just completely going against protocol, pulling rank.
He had a good header at one point.
Well, he did. It's just
beautiful. He did put the penalty away, though.
Yeah, he did.
He did. It's a good finish.
And they all go up together. They'll be in League One next season with MK Dons.
Didn't beat Portsmouth this season, did they?
Yeah. And so Portsmouth had the last laugh.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely. Right, let's take a quick ad break before we talk about internationals.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Good news, ladies and gentlemen. The domestic season may have finished, but of course the European Championships will be soon upon us. And our Euro specials start on Wednesday evening of the 8th of June ahead of the tournament. Of course, this is the first of 13 shows we're doing throughout the Euros.
Yes.
Oh, it's going to be good.
You thought you'd escaped us, but we're back for an international jaunt.
That was a really elaborate and professional, if you don't mind me saying, Marcus, of telling everyone to not hassle us when the show doesn't arrive next Wednesday. It's coming on Wednesday.
Show on Monday.
Yeah. So Wednesday night. We're going to be plugging into Dem Euros.
We're getting the stickers out.
Oh, yeah.
The five-a-side stickers out. And we'll do our predictions, seal them with a shiny, as per.
Yeah. There's a particular prediction I've been knocking back and forth in my head going, should I? Because it would be brilliant if it comes off.
Don't worry about that, because Donaldson's involved, so you're not going to embarrass yourself. Yeah.
What was the big one I dropped? I think it was the goals, wasn't it?
Yellow cards or goals?
No, it was Euro 2012.
Yeah, 7 goals.
And you predicted like 34 goals. And then you even before that, you had crossed out 30. I think it was something like that.
I must have got confused.
The whole tournament. I'm usually so clever. So, 64 games.
Well, I was expecting it was going to be called the Euros of Defence. The year that defensive manoeuvres came home.
Diego Godin's playing for every team in every position.
That's right.
Okay then, England beat Australia, beat those Aussies 2-1. Mm. Unlike the Eurovision, or the Australians of course won't be involved in the Euros.
Still can't keep a clean sheet, can we?
No. So remember that when you come for your predictions, Peter.
I missed this match, Marcus. What happened in three words?
Eric Dyer.
Marcus Rashford,
comma pleased.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's slightly frustrating because the squad will be announced tomorrow, I believe, and of course we're going in with not knowing what the squad's going to be, so we can talk about, should Rashford go? By the time a lot of you are listening to this, you know what's happened.
So
you're ahead of
you
us.
You tell us.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Email.
Why are we doing all the work?
I think it was very interesting because Rashford started, of course, played pretty well, scored a goal, and people say, why on earth is he starting? But actually, if there is an injury to another one of the strikers, as we know Mr. Sturridge can have an injury or two.
He's facing a fitness race against time, isn't he?
He is, yeah. By the time people not... Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But it's better for Rashford to have played at least one game for England going into a tournament rather than nothing. It's interesting surrounding Daniel Sturridge, who has his nose pierced.
Yeah.
Did you see that? I didn't know that. Obviously, he wouldn't play with that on the field of play, so that was a revelation.
Yeah, there's a mobile phone out on the bench, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Mm. I think there's a few little things that one hears about Daniel Sturridge, and I remember when Klopp took over at Liverpool, and he said, I wonder if all this...
It's psychological.
And, yeah, as I say, there's the few little things that one hears about Sturridge.
The nose piercing, is this what you're trying to rate in?
Do you think he's considering that an injury?
Marcus, I used to have my tongue pierced.
Stuck in my face, I can't play.
I've got a hole in my nose. You want me to play with that? Are you mad?
You've got your belly button pierced, Marcus.
Yeah.
That's not true.
How would we know through all that hair?
Very true. That is true.
Can I just wrestle this back just momentarily before I forget to say this? I don't actually think Rashford played that well.
No, I agree.
Everyone was going way over the top about it. He took his goal well, had a great start to the game.
Mate, it's nearly June and we're England. Come on.
So you're saying he can't win us the Euros? Well, what's the point of all this?
I'm not saying he can't.
Are you a German spy?
Bring home the cup for Blighty. Good old Blighty.
All I'm saying is make him
Fade
captain.
Fade his mic down, Peter.
Marcus, if you let me finish, what Treason. I was going to say was make him captain. Give him the responsibility.
Yeah.
Then they'll step up.
Better.
No, but I think I'm not criticising because he's young and it's his debut and all that other stuff. But he wasn't as good as everyone was saying he
that
was.
That is true.
And people were going over the top about it, weren't they? I think they might have given him man of the match, even.
I think any player with that much expectation on them, especially when they've not played a lot of games, literally every touch of the ball they have is scrutinised in a way that no other player is subjected to. So it's just a sort of typical England hype machine, isn't it, to even look at it in such forensic detail. But I don't think he in any way played badly.
Carry on, Jim. I don't think he played badly either. There's an English country garden in the background. Lovely.
I forgot Jim doesn't have headphones on. He doesn't know why we've stopped.
He sees us looking really happy, but he doesn't know why.
Yeah. I thought you were enjoying my opinion.
They're really digging my opinion. Yeah.
It's basically Jim's run over face. It's the face I imagined to have as he's about to be hit by a car. Confusion, terror.
Acceptance.
Confusion is that happened earlier in your life.
Slightly pleased.
This was one of the scenarios I imagined this, you know, happening under.
I had a bet on this.
But Marcus, I don't think.
But I do agree with you, Jim, though.
I don't think any of us. The confusing thing about it is, a few weeks ago we talked a bit about this, and I remember saying, "Oh, it will be important to see how they play in these friendlies. Don't care too much about the qualifying. Do what you got to do to get there. Then when the friendlies come on before the tournament, you'll probably see Hodgson trying out the team he wants to start with." Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's done that yet.
I don't think he does. He should do against Portugal if he doesn't. Yes. And that's a proper test.
Yeah.
Although I think the Aussies did okay. I mean, not the best side that England are going to face, of course, in the next couple of months. But still a decent test.
They were without Tim Cahill as well, who's a big player for them. But I was going to... also say with regards to the Portugal friendly, I don't think that teams should be able to play other teams from the European Championships in a friendly beforehand.
It does seem a bit weird, doesn't it?
It seems to cheapen the whole thing. I think there should be a friendly amnesty, like 3 months before the tournament, where you can't friendly match another team from the tournament.
Well, that's can't friendly though. A team.
Yeah, that said, though, I mean, isn't there? Doesn't it get to a point where it just becomes the fixtures you have to put together become quite odd? I mean, didn't the Czech Republic beat Malta 6-0 or something like that? It's like, clearly that's happened. There's no one left for them to play.
They've gone for the confidence
booster.
It could be that.
Do
it
what
could
North
be
Korea does, just bring in like a fake Brazil team. Well, yeah, we're Brazil. Brazil.
Yeah, what about before Euro 96?
Hong Kong 11.
Yes!
snuck past them. I think it was 2-1, wasn't it?
1-0.
That's it, yeah.
Do you remember who scored? Selez.
Yeah.
1-0. All right, we'll get a confidence booster in. Half-time, 1-0. All right, let's push you. Full time, great clean sheet. Yeah. Hong Kong 11. You could have had Hong Kong 12. They wouldn't have got past us.
What a platform! What a platform!
Still, we did quite well. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That must have been contractually obliged us before it got handed over to China. We've got to play England.
But I don't think England. I don't think that teams should play against teams they could face in the Euro. I think it's stupid. It cheapens it.
I loved how Gabriel Clark was interviewing the Aussie manager after. And he said to him, so what did you think of England? And to be fair to the Aussie manager, whose name I forget and probably wouldn't be able to pronounce anyway, he said, you know, England, yeah, they look pretty good. You know, nice bit of pace on the break, good mix of youth and experience, you know, and was quite gracious and fair enough. And Gabriel Clark then starts saying, now I understand that people at home in England aren't going to be too fussed about what the Aussie team are going to be doing. But he then starts, but how do you think they'll get on in the tournament? And I just loved his brazen Australianness. He just went, well, to be honest, mate, I'm the manager of Australia, so I don't really care what England do. And Gabriel Clark is still clearly in his ear, someone saying, get an answer. Yeah. And he's thinking, the man doesn't care.
Ask him about Mourinho.
Do you know how I know he doesn't care? Because he just said on live television. Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually, he did reply quite graciously and said, you know, England, yeah, they probably do okay, blah, 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 blah. I thought, fair enough.
I was listening to a 5 Live on my run earlier, and they were yesterday, and they were talking about the Monaco Grand Prix, and they had a reporter on the grid ready for the race to start, and Thea Walcott was there, and obviously the similar type thing. The woman, I think it might be what's her name, Jenny Gow. I think she had been told, there's Thea Walcott, go and get a word with him.
Yep.
First question: are you disappointed not to be part of the?
I've come here to get a word from football.
That's what he said. He said, I'm not here to talk about that today.
Fair enough, isn't it?
Can I get chuck in an email? Please, Andrew says, my highlight was Australia resting their first string back four against England so they could be ready for the Greece friendly later this week. Priorities, bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Nice. That would be a bigger one in Australia, probably, because of the huge Greek community in Australia, of course. So at the moment, as I say, it could be Sturridge or Rashford. Could be both, though. But then drink water, there's a question mark there, Townsend and Barkley as well.
But Delph pulled out, hasn't he?
Yeah, Delph has pulled out, which you would think, which
Strength water.
Danny's position.
That's
are you advertising like a vitamin drink?
Potentially. Just email in, show it at the Football Ramble.
Still water.
Yeah. From Almost Famous.
That's right. Yeah. I hope drink water goes, but
me too.
We shall see. And next time we chat, we'll be talking about who has gone, of course.
I thought, what's his chops? Ryan Bertrand was very good.
Bertrand was very good. I think he should be the first choice left back, actually. Right back, I'm easy on that one.
Yeah, I'm comfortable.
When I say easy, I want Walker or Klein.
Yeah. You're not saying it? I'll do it.
You want Gazza?
I'll do it if you want.
What about the under-21s, though, eh? Mm. Paving the way. The Toulon tournament, beating the host France 2-1 in the final. For the first time in 22 years, England have won that tournament. Toulon tournament is an invite-only tournament for national teams in France held every year.
It's like a warm-up for the Olympics this year, isn't it?
Is that right, yeah?
Yeah, so a lot of teams sent their under-23s or whatever, you know. So
I think it's normally an under-20s tournament, maybe, so that's why it's under-21s. Right. But Gareth Southgate's team won all five of their matches against Portugal, Paraguay, Guinea and Japan.
Look out, world.
Yeah. Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
That's one down.
They beat France in the final as well.
They did. Ruben Loftus-Cheek named player of the tournament and scored the winner in the final. Bodes well, Jimmy.
Well, it was a de facto winner. It wasn't the winner.
All right.
Like, it was to put them 2-0 up.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that, you know what I mean?
But still they paved the way.
It's a lovely finish.
We've won the warm up.
The young players, none of which will be represented at the Euros, have won the warm up.
Well, let's think about the last. The last three tournaments in France, you've got to conclude the World Cup 98. England have won two of them.
Yeah. And also, all of the players we're taking to the Euros are older. Yeah. So they're going to be even better.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
They've got more experience.
They'll have won it by the quarterfinals.
You don't need a green banana, do you?
Everyone else will pull out from
our
fear.
Our record on French soil is magnificent.
Yeah. Apart from World Cup 98, when it really mattered, the Toulon tournament and, of course, Le Tournoi.
Yeah.
Hmm. There we are, you see, ladies and gentlemen. It's as simple as that. Slovakia, they beat Germany 3-1. Oh, dear.
That was an odd result.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. They're in England's group.
Hamsik scored an absolute beauty. Yeah, you see that?
He's class.
From miles out.
He's a very underrated player, Hamsik, actually, despite being quite well-known. He's sort of never linked with moves away from Napoli and for 45 million euros or whatever, and he's absolutely one of those players that you think would thrive anywhere. Mm, it's nice to see a player like that actually stay at the same club for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's a fair shout. Slovakia with a team which I thought... England against Russia, probably take a draw. Against Wales, I think we'll probably lose that. And you think Slovakia, let's hope we can win that last one. I saw that and I was like, we only beat Germany 3-2.
Yeah.
They've beaten 3-1.
Stegen dropped a clanger, didn't he? He did that thing, he let the ball through his legs, and he did that thing where it looks like a goalkeeper's basically laid an egg.
Love it. That's the Taibbi, the famous Taibbi.
Oh, that was the best one.
And I'm fairly certain Rob Green's done that at some point as well.
Well, against the US in the World Cup.
Yeah, but it didn't go through his legs, did it? It's sort of to the side.
Oh, was it to the side?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. It's a safe bet that Rob Green's done that at some point. But Germany were also a goal ahead when they go up in that game.
They did, you see.
It's becoming a bit of a habit, Germany.
But Mario Gomez penalty.
But then they went 2 up against England.
Yeah.
You see?
Doesn't even matter.
So what do we need to do against Slovakia? Do we need to go a goal down? Oh, I don't know.
Ask Pete knows about
put
this.
Put it in your algorithm, Peter.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to score 0.2 goals.
This dates back to about 6 months ago when Pete genuinely got so flustered in an argument about Alan Pardew that he seemed to suggest that because they went a goal down, it was bad even though they won 2-1.
Yeah, that's the one.
For new listeners, welcome. Yeah. That's the level of chat, so welcome.
Yeah, well, firstly, where have you been all season? Yeah. Secondly, I'm sorry. And thirdly, please stay with us. Yeah. All right? Now, let's move on to the Copa America, because that's happening.
Again.
Yeah. Kaká.
I love the fact that Brazil aren't taking this seriously.
They're not.
No.
They are, but they're not, because they've got the Olympics. The Olympics is the one they care about, because it's the only major tournament they've yet to win, and they do care about that. So
major tournament.
Well,
come on.
Years ago it was.
Mate, if Brazil think it's major, it's major.
Tell you when it was major, 2012 when Britain were in it.
1908 when Britain won it.
Yeah. Only two examples.
I think we might have won the first two.
I think Britain might have done.
No one else invited. The old Uruguay trick.
Think about it, right? Going back to 1966 is bad enough.
Yeah.
Having to go back to 1908.
Why aren't you proud?
Yeah.
Why aren't you proud of all our forefathers' achievements?
Yeah. Please stand, Marcus.
Already am, mate.
Sorry, are you talking over that?
Sorry.
Marcus!
Because you're a Rangers fan.
Back in. Right, Kaká has been called up to the Brazil squad. That's lovely, isn't it? After Douglas
Costa. Again, they're not taking it seriously.
Well, Douglas Costa
called
he's
already there.
Yeah.
He is already in the US, you're right. Douglas Costa
Were you going to say something about Douglas Costa?
Spit it out, Marcus. You're still thinking about England?
We're not on the beach yet.
No.
He's not playing because he's injured, Jim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it could be on the beach then.
Well, that's right. They do have a decent squad, though, Jim.
I just love the idea of the Copa America. It's a centenary version, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is
a massive thing in South America.
Which is why it's happened a year after the previous one.
But I love the idea of the organising committee calling up Brazil. All right, yeah, just checking you're taking this serious. Yeah, we are. We're definitely taking it seriously. Right, who have you called up?
Who's your score?
Have you called up Kaká? No. We've got a lot of injuries.
Right, I'm ready to hear Ronaldinho.
Yeah, is that Ronaldinho the background player of Vuvuzela?
No, he's drinking out of it. That's worse, if anything.
Yeah. Well, Dani Alves, Felipe Luis, if fit, Marquinhos, Willian, Hulk,
Ronaldo,
Alan Brazil.
Diego Costa.
Yeah. But they're in the squad, so they have taken this seriously.
The bass player from Slade.
Sepultura. they are taking it seriously, but they are looking towards the Olympics more. I mean, Neymar's had a long season. Come on. Mm. We remember what happened last time we got injured for Brazil. It all went to pot. Yeah. Argentina, they beat Honduras 1-0 in a friendly.
That was a beautiful goal.
Oh, delicious.
Bergkamp-esque.
He is in some form.
Bergkamp-esque. Mm. Whatever Arsenal should do is not sign him.
Could Higuain...
I think we can comfortably say we're going to nail that one.
Well, as we all found out in a pub about 7 years ago, Jim discovered Higuain.
That's true.
This has been foisted on me. I don't know why.
You discovered him.
You did, Jim.
You went on a drunken one about how much you loved him.
When Gonzalo Higuain was playing for Real Madrid, you discovered him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Stay tuned for more tips.
Yeah.
That was the same night when Jim went, oh, yeah, the Madrid game on was it towards the end of the evening. Yeah, did it just end 1-0 to Madrid? No, Jim, they won 6-0.
That was good, though, because I knew the exact point at which my brain stopped recording new memories. So that was quite handy for me.
It's not recovered since, has it?
No.
It's like when they check watches on drowned people. Well, that's when it stopped. That's when the plane hit the water.
Yeah, any more then?
Got them all up there. Yeah. My dark memories.
Keep them there.
The current black box of your mind.
The current holders, Chile, lost 2-1 to Jamaica in a friendly.
Yeah, that was a weird game.
Ooh.
It was a weird game. Jamaica beat Chile. Can't get more weird than that.
Well,
the reggae boys.
There you are.
You're just showing the reggae boys. I mean, you can take the mick out of me all you want. You just went, the reggae boys.
I was about to expand on that.
That is their nickname, to be fair.
Good, right. We're doing association.
That's the nickname.
Everyone knows that.
Right then.
I was just going to say that in World Cup 98, Portsmouth sent a few players to Jamaica.
They did.
To the Jamaican team. Fitzroy Simpson and the like.
There you go.
Memory lane.
Friendliest. Are we done? Reggae boys.
Shall I do some highlights of the week?
Please.
Before, Marcus, you completely shit your
Bob
pants.
Bob Marley.
Luke, highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Marcus, I've got a little note here to say that people are going to be absolutely staggered. Stunned beyond all comprehension that we have got this far in the show without talking about Big Sam in
Marbella. Well, there we are. Oi, no carbs before marbs.
Yeah. Not true in that case, I would wager.
Can I just say, and I know it is amazing that Big Sam, but for those who haven't seen this, I mean, get on the internet and see it, because it's important to
It was
do
a Rihanna
so.
Song, wasn't it?
If you've got the internet.
Big Sam is dancing in Marbella at a wedding, I think. It's definitely a wedding.
Yeah. Okay.
To Rihanna. But I don't know how you guys feel about this. But I think it's a bit of a shame that it's starting to.
Yeah.
We're starting to see this sort of stuff. Because I don't like the idea. Because we have the season where we essentially rip it out of Big Sam for the whole season. He goes away for the summer after a stressful job, stressful year.
Yeah.
Keeps Sunderland in the Premier League. And we're still having a pop at him when he's on his holidays.
I disagree.
I'm not having a pop at him.
I love that Sam Allardyce is just owning it, just having a good time. He's earned it. It's a season, you know.
It's not like he did it in a cup final at Wembley or something.
But you've just suggested he's been eating too many carbohydrates.
Look at the man. The two things are not mutually exclusive.
No, it was in Marbella.
I'm glad for him having all the carbs he wants.
Exactly. We were like pasta.
The man knows how to live his life. Our opinions on that will have, make no bearing on
it. He can
have
as much ravioli as he wants.
It's a great video.
And I love
it. The only thing he's missing is he hasn't got his tie around his head.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed there.
If he had his tie around his head, that would make it even better.
Yeah.
But anyway, on to the highlights of the week. David Stiles, he says, Jim, this is one for you, mate. I put this out especially for you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hello, chaps. My highlight of the week was learning that Seattle Mariners, or a baseball team out in Seattle, had a bring your dog night to a game.
Amazing.
Oh, brilliant.
Say what you like about baseball being a 5-hour meal with a game of rounders in the background, but they certainly know their shit when it comes to keeping their fans and the bleachers happy. Hashtag more dogs in sport. And he actually attached a photo with him and his dog at the baseball.
Amazing.
Loads of dogs in the background.
I think I saw another picture from that game where this big, shaggy Labrador, beautiful looking dog, just spent the whole match just looking at this guy who was eating a hot dog. Just staring at him going, I'm having that.
Hot dog?
Say again?
How long was he eating the hot dog for?
Well, enough to get the dog looking at him all match.
I mean, surely they have to stop the dog going in the front few rows because they're just going to chase the ball.
Yeah, exactly. That's the.
You got him tied up.
Do the dogs have to sort of pass some kind of criteria?
Behavioural thing.
Any more info, do let us know. We're intrigued.
The thing is about dogs, though, Jim, you know more about dogs than me. I was at a...
Jim's never actually owned a dog, though.
No, but he's the go-to man when it comes to
dogs. My family's always had dogs.
Okay, well, I'll put the question to both of you.
I'm happy to chip in.
Okay, you're welcome to join us.
Douglas Costa.
Anyone else? Do you want to open the door? Anyone else want to come in?
The reggae dogs.
It was a very simple question about
Can
dogs.
Can we play Monopoly? It's the last day of school.
It's gone too long now. I'm not even going to ask it. Dan Shoesmith.
Oh, no, come on. Was it a question from somebody?
No, it's just my
dog Shoesmith.
Friend of the Ramble, Dan Shoesmith.
Yes.
He says, Marcus Rashford is my heart of the week. Marcus Rashford is my heart of the week. Can you please let me finish this?
Rasher or bacon, but.
It's not going to do with dogs.
Dogs love it.
Dogs love bacon. That's your thing. That's your contribution, isn't it?
Dogs love
do.
Bacon.
Play a jingle.
Dogs love bacon. They love it
saltiness. Dogs love bacon.
Again, if this is the first football ramble that you've ever listened to.
Can I just say my favourite part of that was Pete starting really enthusiastically, then looking at us with a look in his eye which suggested, please, how long do you want me to do this for? Because I've got nothing left.
Yeah.
Can I continue?
Go on.
Long-time friend of the ramble, Dan Shoesmith. He says, my heart of the week is Marcus Rashford giving us a talismanic mercurial talent to hang our hats on this summer and an easy scapegoat when we crash out in the groups.
Yeah.
Not a scapegoat, a scapegoat.
When we rash out of the group. That's probably how they'll play it in the sun.
And do you guys remember a regular contributor called Fraser Woods? I can't remember the guy. This is not a dig, Fraser. But the reason I say that is because first things first, he says, I apologise for not replying last week as I was still seething from the Scottish Cup final result. Ooh. But he's got in touch saying, Marcus mentioned Airdrie as being the Millwall of Scotland.
But not my words, the words of my friend north of the border.
Fine, that's okay. You're not in trouble. You're not in trouble. He says he's got a frankly bleak story, actually.
Oh, dear.
About his girlfriend being from Airdrie. And he says, I can confirm the Millwall comparison. The family had planned a surprise 50th for my girlfriend's dad last week, at which my girlfriend got her bag, phone, keys and ID stolen family party.
Oh, dear.
He says, there was a wedding in the function room next to ours, which provided a silver lining as I was presented with about a dozen six-inch sandwiches from the buffet as they were left over. I think I'd quite like Millwall.
Oh,
stuff stolen from a family party in Airdrie.
There you are.
Anyone knows anything?
If you're from Airdrie,
Carl Crouch.
I'm sorry, have we moved on from the highlights of the week?
I just thought I'd back
to family
up,
crime.
I just thought up
family crime. Watch.
Luke's bleak stories.
I thought I would back up Marcus. You're very at the time. I thought unfair comparison of Airdrie and Millwall, which you slimily and totally tried to get out of at the top of that. It was actually my mate who said it.
Yeah, well, no, but I was endorsing it.
So if anyone's from Airdrie who'd like to get in touch,
that's a great impression of me, by the way.
No worries. Who'd like to tell us how great Airdrie is, please do so, and we'll adjust the balance.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be happening.
Well, Airdrie your views. Do you want a couple of emails?
Yeah, go on.
Hello, Michal in Berlin. He says, you were discussing the 210th member of FIFA Gibraltar, who were just voted in as full members last week. What you didn't mention are that the 211th Kosovo also joined them and might even have a decent chance of doing something if the likes of Jernan Shaqiri, Adnan Januzaj are allowed to play for them.
Granit Xhaka as well.
Say again.
I
say this to you because I try to tell my half Kosovan girlfriend about this in the hope that she might finally care about football. Unfortunately, the other half of her is Australian, and she couldn't give a toss, basically, leaving me high and dry and met with a look of sheer boredom. Next time out, I'm going to pick a Gibraltar lass instead. All the best, Michal in Berlin. Ooh. Thank you to Jack Lee for Opinion Premier League Guide to Pronouncing Chinese Football Teams. I've printed it out. It's on the wall at Ramble HQ.
Thanks, mate.
And Dylan, who sent in a mad recording of himself singing a self and Louis Van Gaal song, which was just
after that song you've just done.
What, mine was off the cuff? He had time to do his. He clicked send on that email. You don't get that kind of thing with your mouth.
He might have been drunk.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, Pete might be drunk. That's any given time.
Are we done with the emails?
Let's leave it there, shall we?
Okay. This is quite stunning. Dara Whitting tweeted me. And remember we mentioned last week about old footballers and all this, and we said, oh, do you remember that guy, Dickie Borthwick?
Yeah.
The oldest winger in town, as they called him. I think he was sort of 77, which would suggest by this tweet that was 3 years ago. The next day, he sent me a picture from the London Metro paper with a little article about Dickie Borthwick.
What's he doing now, then?
That's very strange, isn't it?
Influencing the game.
Is he still playing?
Yeah, he's 80.
He's not still playing.
That's what it says here. He's 80, still playing. Recently recovered from cancer. Plays for Dorset Wyke Veterans team. So he does play for a veterans team.
Well, obviously. Well,
literal veterans.
He's 80 years
of
old.
They played against an under-16 side. And he said, and this is a wonderful piece of self-awareness, I have lost a bit of speed. Admits it. Because we were all wondering. But my thoughts are quick, and that is what really counts. It's true. It's all about decision-making. It's all in your head, Dickie.
What was the score?
I intend to keep playing as my legs and knees are still good and sturdy. Marvellous.
What was the score? Don't mention it. No, I got hammered. Yeah. Oh, I forgot. This is the highlight I missed off that I should really include. This is from Mark Wakeham. He says, my highlight of the week was Mark Clattenburg's reaction to Pepe's roll around. It was like a parent filling with rage, who couldn't do anything because you're at a busy Tesco.
And I did get a couple of tweets there. One from Aaron McLeese, who said, being from the town next to Airdrie, I can confirm they are the Millwall of Scotland.
Well, more yep. power to that elbow.
And Kieran McGee also tweeted me saying, I attended an Airdrie game when I was about 10. All I remember was swearing at the ref because everyone else was.
Fair. That's fair enough.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Yep.
There we are. Right. Excellent. Let's have a website roundup.
Yeah, you can have one. So, on your favourite interweb-based football news channel this week, Kelly uncovers interesting news about who Jose Mourinho was actually dreaming about while telling Chelsea fans how they were his only English love.
Yeah, Glee. That's amazing that. He basically, when he took the Chelsea deal for the second time, he incorporated a company, or founded a company called Crimson Dream Limited.
Mm-hmm. Yes!
The plot thickens.
Saucy.
Wow. So, yeah, clues. They finally got a room last week. Coverage of Hatem Ben Arfa's big, colourful pants and his even more big and colourful gob. We get a glimpse of what it might look like if the Ramble were in charge of those little presentation clips of England players prior to major tournaments. And last, but by no means least, Real Madrid fling bus stop celebrations over the shark with a ghastly plywood chariot-based mess in a fountain. Follow Kelly at Kelly_Wells. The disdain is real.
I've got one more thing, actually. I've got an Adebayo Akinfenwa quote.
Yep.
After the playoff final, which I forgot to mention earlier. He says, Akinfenwa, after the playoff final for Wimbledon to get promoted to League One, he says, it's what dreams are made of. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, yeah, but sidebar, I think I'm technically unemployed. So any managers out there, hit me up on WhatsApp. All those people who said I was too big to play football. Ha, come on now. From playing in the dark in Hackney to winning at Wembley, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Fair
That's
play.
What, probably what he was saying when he stole that penalty off his teammate.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've come to the end of the last podcast of this domestic season. But do not worry, because, of course, we are back next week ahead of the Euros on Wednesday, the 8th of June, in the evening. That will be released, the first of 13 shows in the Euros. So it's goodbye for now. But if you can't go the sort of, what would it be, 8 days without us, what else can you listen to, Luke?
Yeah, we've reopened the doors to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame, as you may have heard on the grapevine, and that is now available for purchase on iTunes and PayPal. So get yourself over there. TheFootballRamble.com, it's the first story on the front page of the site, or just search under albums on iTunes, or do that.
Lovely stuff. And of course, we're on 44 Tunes.
Yes, we are. Dean from 44 Tunes has currently animated us pretty much right throughout the season, so thank you for Dean's hard work. You can find the videos at youtube.com/footballramble.
There we are. So thank you very much for journeying with us for another season. But as I say, we're back next week. So it's a goodbye for now, and a goodbye from you, Jim.
Goodbye.
A goodbye from you, Luke.
That was loud, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Sorry.
I'm saying my goodbye. Is that all right?
School's out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hint taken.
Luke?
Yeah, that's it. Goodbye.
Yeah, right. Peter.
What a terrible end.
I know.
To an excellent season of the Footer Ramble.
Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
Bye.